Good morning. Good morning. Mark chapter 7, if you have your Bibles. Gospel of Mark chapter 7. What a beautiful testimony that Bruce just shared. Just getting out there, sharing the faith, sharing what you know with people, and just watching God move. Lord, I thank you for the simplicity of what really you've called us to do and the simplicity of the faith. Lord, I pray that you would speak in a mighty way from your word this morning. Lord, that you would tug on our hearts, that you would move the hearts of your people. Lord, we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I really do think that as Christians, we can complicate the mission that Jesus gave to us. You know, we all know what the mission is, right? We're supposed to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We're supposed to obey the Great Commission. Go make disciples of all the nations. We're supposed to share the gospel with people. We're supposed to share Jesus with people. But I think a lot of times we make it too complicated. You know, there are some Christians that think, well, I can't share Jesus with anybody until I go to seminary. Or I can't share Jesus with anybody until I've had a few evangelism courses. Or I can't share Jesus with anybody until I know the Bible from cover to cover. Or until I can answer all those questions about evolution versus creation. Or be able to answer all that I know about Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses or Islam or all of that stuff. Now, it's always good to be trained and to be studying, but it doesn't have to be that complicated, folks. All we need to do as Christians is get people to Jesus. Amen. That's all we need to do. Take people to Jesus. Because when you get a person to Jesus, Jesus takes over. He does all the saving, all the blessing, all the healing, all the changing of lives. What we need to do is just bring people to Jesus. Think of it this way. Let's say you had a friend who was very sick, and you're not a doctor, but you knew a doctor. How would you help your sick friend? Would you go to medical school? Study to become a doctor and then help him? No, you'd get him to the doctor. That's what we're called to do. Get people to Dr. Jesus. Take them and let Jesus do his marvelous miracles on people's lives. We have a beautiful example of people taking a friend to Jesus in our text this morning. I'd like you to read it with me. Look at verse 31 of Mark chapter 7. It says, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he, Jesus, came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. Jesus is still in Gentile territory. He's been way up north. He comes down south in our text to the east side of the Sea of Galilee to a region called the Decapolis, which literally means 10 cities. So he's still in the midst of Gentile territory, working with Gentile people, though the Jewish people would have nothing to do with Gentiles. Jesus goes in to minister to Gentiles, and he's recognized there. And a man is brought to Jesus who is suffering with 2 physical handicaps that are related. Verse 32 says that he was what? Deaf. He could not hear. Not one sound. We don't know if he had some sort of an accident that made him deaf or he was born that way. But I want you to just think about that handicap for a little bit this morning. Imagine living in a world of utter silence. Never hearing a voice, never hearing music, never hearing waves crash, no wind, nothing. Can you imagine what that world would be like? Can you imagine how closed in you'd feel? You ever been swimming at a public school and it's real loud and busy? And you're above the water, and then when you go under, everything goes. Can you imagine living life underwater? That's sort of how this man lived. And you know, I didn't know a whole lot about this handicap, but I read a little bit about it this week. The deaf experience some incredible challenges. The deaf will tell you that their affliction makes them a special class of people. Blindness and most other physical handicaps can be seen by others, and those who see the handicap make special allowance for the handicapped person. But you can't see the person that is deaf. Often people will grow impatient with the deaf person because they're having trouble understanding something. Sometimes people treat the deaf like they're less intelligent than others just because they cannot hear. Often the deaf are embarrassed by their condition and they withdraw into themselves rather than face a harsh, staring public. You know, deaf people are thought to be stupid. When you first see, you talk to them and they don't respond. And then it says that he had a speech impediment. So he was essentially a mute. He didn't talk that much, but when he tried to talk, he sounded silly. He couldn't say words properly. He's never heard the correct pronunciation of words, so he can't do it himself. And so when he speaks, he kind of mashes words. And again, people would see people like that as being, there's something wrong with that person mentally. Imagine being in a place like that. I also read that in those days, those that were deaf and mute were thought to be demon-possessed. Just the vile people of society. So you can picture this man. Most people would have thought of him as being this silly, stupid, retarded, demonic person. And they would have treated him that way. Not communicating with him, not being able to communicate with anybody. I mean, this guy had some tough things going against him. But this man also had one thing good going for him. He had some good friends. He was surrounded by some friends who loved him and cared for him. And he is surrounded by people that are going to do whatever they can to get their friend to Jesus. It says that they brought him to Jesus and they begged Jesus, just put your hand on him. It's beautiful. Not complicated. Just bringing somebody to Jesus. You know, it makes me remember a story that we studied earlier in Mark. Do you remember those four guys that had a crippled friend? And they tried to get their crippled friend to Jesus. They brought him to the house that Jesus was teaching in. And it was packed, so they couldn't carry him in. Those four guys took their friend up on the roof, dug a hole through the roof, and lowered their sick friend down through the hole in the roof right there before Jesus. That's determination, wouldn't you say? There's four friends that loved their buddy so much that they carried him onto a roof, dug a hole just to get him to Jesus. What determination. These people had that same kind of determination, and that's the same kind of determination that you and I need to have. How determined are we simply to get people to Jesus? Are you determined to get your friends to Jesus? Your family members to Jesus? How determined? These folks were very determined. And look what Jesus did with this man. Verse 33. And he, Jesus, took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. Now, one of the most beautiful studies you can do in the gospel is to study the way that Jesus healed individuals. When you study those miracles, you will find that Jesus, he treated each case uniquely and individually. He gave personal attention to people when he healed them. In fact, you see Jesus tailoring the miracle to the person. You see Jesus healing people in a way that will be most meaningful to the person he's healing. It's incredible. You see this insight that Jesus has into people. You know, I think of when Jesus healed the leper. Leprosy, the skin disease, made you unclean. Nobody could get near you. Nobody touched a leper. But when Jesus healed the leper, he touched the leper. Why? To make it even more meaningful. And I always picture that leper when Jesus touches his face, grabbing his hand, and oh, how meaningful and wonderful that was. When that woman who was suffering with an issue, a flow of blood, remember she went into the crowd and she just wanted to touch the garment? She goes into the crowd, she touches the garment, she's instantly healed. And what did she want to do? Slip out of there. Didn't want to be noticed. Did Jesus let her do that? No, he busted her, didn't he? He stopped the crowd, stopped everything, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" That woman was brought before Jesus. Jesus would not let her get away without a personal encounter with the Lord who healed her. This is how Jesus works with people. And I love how he heals this deaf mute. Look at it a little bit closer. The first thing he does, verse 33, he took him aside from the multitude. Okay, so this situation is brought to Jesus in public. This could be a circus moment. This could be an opportunity for this incredible PR moment. Jesus takes this guy aside, away from the crowd. Jesus gets utterly alone with this person. Jesus is saying to this person, you are more than a problem. You are more than an opportunity for a publicity stunt. You are an individual and you are important to me and I care about you. Come aside with me. God alone. And then it says he put his fingers, so now he's alone. Now he takes his fingers, puts his fingers in his ears. He spits and then touches the man's tongue. Now, the idea is Jesus spit on his finger and then touched the man's tongue. What's he saying? He's using sign language. He's communicating with this man. Fingers in the ear. I know you can't hear, but you're about to hear. Can't speak. I know you can't speak, but your tongue is about to be lubricated. Your tongue is about to be loosed. You're about to speak. Can you see this guy looking? And then it says, he looked up to heaven. That's very important. He's communicating with this man sign language. Your hearing is about to be restored. Your speech is about to be restored. And then Jesus looked up to heaven saying, and that miracle's coming from God. This is coming from heaven. You're about to experience a miraculous healing. Then it says, verse 34, he sighed. That's a word that could also be translated groaned. He groaned. Now the man probably didn't hear it, but he saw it. Jesus groaned with emotion. Perhaps it was a sigh of grief over the suffering which sin had brought on mankind. Perhaps it was a sigh of compassion and love. Oh, how much I love this man and want to bless this man. Perhaps it was a sigh of resolve in battling the satanic powers that had enslaved this suffering man. Either way, Jesus is into it. And that man knows that Jesus is into it. And then he takes that man, I see him like this, looks him right in the eyes, and says, Ephphatha, which is Aramaic, which means to be open, completely open. This man could no doubt read lips. Ephphatha. I'm sure that man knew exactly what Jesus had said. Lots of people couldn't communicate with that guy. Lots of people had given up on that guy. But Jesus can communicate with anybody. And Jesus took this man aside and said, you know, you're not a monster. I can talk to you. I know who you are. I know what you're struggling with. And I'm going to do a miracle in your life, and I'm going to change your life forever. Ephphatha, be opened, verse 35. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. No speech therapy. No long healing process. In that very moment, that man could hear and that man could speak. Look what Jesus can do when you simply get a person to him. Well, Jesus brought this man healed now back to the crowd. Verse 36 says, then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Everyone was utterly blown away by this miracle. As I said, the deaf mute in that day was thought to be the lost cause. Jesus healing that person instantly. It was like one of his most spectacular miracles. Everyone's astonished. Everyone's screaming, he does all things well. And couldn't we scream right along with them? He tells them, don't tell many people. Don't go around telling all this. Why? Because he doesn't want a circus act. He knows that people like to get into politics, and some would want to make him a king or a governor. So, you know, he does say, don't tell everybody, but what do? They go tell everybody. What an incredible miracle, and what a beautiful encounter, and what a wonderful thing that man's friends did for their friend. It's as simple as that. I believe that Jesus is still available. And I believe that all we need to do is get people to Jesus. The issue, listen folks, is not getting people to church. The issue is not getting people to meet a famous evangelist or Christian author or musician or pastor or preacher. Those kinds of things can help, but that's not the issue. The issue for us as Christians is to simply get people to Jesus. Jesus knows the people better than we know them. Jesus knows how to minister to each one. on an he's still wanting to touch people's lives in an individual way. Jesus knows how to manifest himself in a person's life very personally. He's the one that does all the work, all the good things, all the miracles. Just get people to Jesus. Now, you're a Christian here this morning. How do you get people to Jesus? What do you do? Have you ever thought about it as simply as that? Let me share just a few things with you this morning about how I think we can get people to Jesus in a very simple way. Number one, and before anything else, pray. Did you know, my brother and sister in Christ, that you can get all the people in your life to Jesus in prayer? Did you know that you can take people and all of their problems and all of their concerns to Jesus in prayer? If you're an intercessor, praying for people's needs. Now, I know a lot of Christians that find it very difficult to talk to people about God. Okay, then, talk to God about people. And we all can do that. Take your unsaved relatives to Jesus every day in prayer. Take your friends at work to Jesus in prayer. Be sensitive to all the people in your life. Find out what their problems are. Find out what's going on in people's lives. And take those problems, those people, to Jesus in prayer. Do it every day. Get them there. And I'm telling you, when you do that, it makes you more sensitive on the inside. You begin to become more observant of where people are and more ready to talk to them. So much wonderful work can be done in people's lives through prayer. And yet, why do so many Christians neglect that one simple discipline? When you pray, pray for Christian ministers, pray for your pastors, pray for missionaries, pray for evangelists. Paul the Apostle in Romans 15, verse 30 says, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." That's Paul saying, I'm out in the ministry, pray for me. So you're praying for people. You're also praying for the people that you know that are out there serving Christ and speaking the gospel. Pray for them. You know, one of the greatest encouragements I get as a pastor is when somebody says, "Hey, Terry, I prayed for you the other day." And I go, "Wow, that's awesome. Do it every day." Pray for your spiritual leaders. You know, the Bible says that we can also pray for the government. How many of you think our government needs some serious prayer? But that's something that we're commanded to pray for as Christians. 1 Timothy 2, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority." Listen, pray that the leaders of this country get saved. Pray that this country stays free, that we may continue to preach. Pray. Pray for people. Pray for the leaders. My friend, pray big prayers. Awesome prayers. Did you know that you can bring entire countries to Jesus? You can get up one morning and bring hey, I'd like to bring Africa to Jesus this morning. Pray for them. Pray that people will get to Jesus. Bring countries to Jesus. Very simple. I've always loved Sandra Goodwin's beautiful poem that she entitled, Traveling on My Knees. She says, last night I took a journey to a land across the seas. I did not go by boat or plane. I traveled on my knees. I saw so many people there in deepest depths of sin. But Jesus told me I should go. That's where there are souls to win. But I said, Jesus, I cannot go and work with such as these. He answered quickly, yes, you can, by traveling on your knees. He said, you pray, I'll meet the need. You call and I will hear. Be concerned about lost souls, of those both far and near. And so I tried it. I knelt in prayer. Gave up some hours of ease. I felt the Lord right by my side while traveling on my knees. And as I prayed, I saw souls saved and twisted bodies healed. And I saw God's workers' strength renewed while laboring in the field. I said, yes, Lord, I do have a job. My desire, thy will to please. I can go and heed thy call by traveling on my knees. We need a whole lot of Christians traveling on their knees. That is a very simple, wonderful way in your life as a Christian to get people to Jesus. Pray for them. Bring people to Him in your prayers. Another way, and this is important, if you want to bring people to Jesus as a Christian, then you need to live that strong Christian life in front of people. You need to live a different life. You need to live a life that stands in contrast to the lives that we see lived in the world. We need to let people see that peace in our life, that joy in our life. We need people to see good, solid, strong Christian marriages and families. We need people to see good, strong, hard-working, responsible work ethic in the workplace. Go out there and live a different life. Live against the flow. Be holy when everyone else around you isn't. Do the right thing. Show the love of Christ. You got to live it. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, so it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Listen, you can't just talk the talk. You've got to walk the walk. There has got to be a difference in you, an attraction to Christ in your life. If you want to bring people to Jesus, act like a Christian around people. Be a people. Don't act like a Christian. Be a Christian. Live the Christian life. And I'll tell you, when you live that wonderful Christian life before people, that will attract them. Will it repel some? Yeah, but it'll attract more. People want life. People want purpose. People need contentment. If they see somebody who has it, they're going to come ask. Brother and sister in Christ, do not fall into a life of compromise. Don't become the Christian who lives just like the people in this world. Don't do that. You compromise your life. It's not good for you as a Christian. It'll cause you to have a much tougher experience in life. It's been said that worldly Christians are the most miserable people. They're not happy in church, and they're not happy in the world either. They're sort of right in between, and what they're doing is they're living a lie. And they're having to cover up all their lies. And the worst thing that can happen for a worldly Christian is for their worldly friends and their Christian friends to mix. Oh no. And you know what? Living a life of compromise like that is the worst thing you can do for your friends. Why? Because you're living your life in a way that encourages them to continue in something that you've been saved from. I mean, your eyes have been opened to the gospel. You've been saved. You're going to heaven. And you're going to live your life with some people in a way that encourages them not. And you call yourself a friend. You know, it's like you're on a train with all your buddies. And you know that there's a train wreck coming up. And you know that as a Christian, you're not going to experience that train wreck. But you'll live your life in such a way that your friends will go through the train wreck without living differently, without saying, hey, man, we need to get off the train. Pray for people. Live a Christian life in front of people. It's a matter of life and death. And then, I'm going to have to say it. I know some of you don't like this. But eventually, as a Christian, you're going to have to learn how to open the mouth and talk and share. You know, when we came to Christ, we got our hearing, didn't we? We can hear the voice of God now clearly. You know what? He also opened our mouths too. We can speak. And we need to speak. We need to share. I've always loved this. These people were commanded not to tell anyone, and they went and told everyone. But what's worse, nowadays we're commanded to go and tell everyone, and a lot of us don't tell anyone. When you're praying for people, and when you're living your life for Christ around people, I promise you, people are going to come with questions. And it's at that time that you open the mouth, share, bring people to Jesus. And think of it this way. Making an introduction. You know, that's what evangelism is. Hi, I'd like to introduce you to my friend Jesus. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior who saved my life for all of eternity. Here's how he did it. I was going this way in life and I met him. And he changed my life. And I've been following him. And he's still changing my life. And he can change your life. And you got to be able to just have the guts and the courage and actually the joy to do that. Can you do that? Will you do that? Doesn't have to be complicated. And my friend, when you get people to Jesus, look what he does in people's lives. I want to encourage you this morning. Get out there and live for him and tell people about him. I'd also like to speak to anyone this morning who's struggling with anything, with any kind of an issue in your life. I want you to know that Jesus is alive and well, and he can meet you right now where you're at and change your life and heal you. You just got to come to him. Put your faith in him. I've always loved that story in the Old Testament where Moses is at the burning bush. And God in the burning bush says, you're on holy ground, take off your sandals. So he takes off his sandals. And God says, I'm going to send you back to Egypt. And Moses is freaking out, right? He says, well, I can't do that. And who am I going to tell the people? Who sent me? I don't even know your name, God. And you remember, it's at that point God gives Moses his name. But it's this odd name. He says, you tell the people, I am sent you. I am. You know, that's the name of God. Yahweh, Jehovah. The great I am. Literally, I am who I am. I am because I am. I will be that I will be. I am the ever-existing one. I am the mysterious one. But I think it's also a name that communicates to us that God will be whoever we need him to be. And he can be whatever we need in life. He can meet every need. It's as if he's saying to people, are you weak? I am strength. Are you poor? I am riches. Are you in trouble? I am comfort. Are you sick? I am health. Are you dying? I am life. Have you nothing? I am all things. I am wisdom and power. I am justice and mercy. I am grace and goodness. I am glory, beauty, holiness, eminency, supereminency, perfection, all-sufficiency, eternity. Yahweh, I am. Whatever is amiable in itself or desirable unto you, that I am. Whatsoever is pure and holy, whatever is great or pleasant, whatever is good or needful to make you happy, that I am. Have you found that? Has God become that to you? He can right now. But you got to come to him. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes? Lord, I am fully confident of your strength and your love and your mercy and your grace. I thank you, Lord, for changing my life so many years ago in such an amazing way. And Lord, how you continue to change my life. And I thank you for the way you've changed so many people's lives and saved so many people's lives here, right in this service. And my prayer as we close this service first is that we would be your people who get your word out. Lord, that we would live what we believe. That we would be sensitive to the needs of other people. That we would be ready, Lord, to share the truth with anybody at any time. And then, Father, I'd like to pray for anyone here this morning who has never received you. The greatest need that a person has is the need of salvation, to have all of your sins forgiven and washed away. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And he rose again the third day, and he is alive. The Bible says if you will place your faith in Jesus, if you'll ask him to be your Savior, he will wash away all of your sins. He will cleanse you. He will come into your life. He will be your Lord and Savior. He will make you a brand new creation. And it is absolutely real, and it is absolutely supernatural. I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer with me if you've never received Christ. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Wash away all my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Touch my life. Heal my life. Transform my life. And oh Lord, how I pray that you would do those great works. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. I'd like to ask our prayer counselors to come up here in the front.